Kretzmeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of L.A. Marzulli, and L.A. is certainly an ordained minister who certainly was an assistant minister at a large church in Southern California before he began talking about prophecy, about what was going on politically, politics, prophecy, and the supernatural, I think was one of his books, first one we read. And of course, there's some ministers who just don't want to talk anything about the supernatural, and yet, of course, if you read the Bible, all sorts of supernatural things happen. In fact, God is supernatural. The whole idea of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is supernatural. Certainly, being able to command a storm to stop, or to raise someone from the dead, or to appear in a locked room, all of these things are supernatural events. And although certainly they occurred a long time ago, God has not changed at all. I think we're seeing today the fulfillment of prophecy. We see the return of the children of Israel to the homeland after 2,000 years, just like prophesied. They say, oh, well, this was done by a lot of wacko people. Not very nice. The labor Zionists were behind this, and they conspired to put the children of Israel back in the Holy Land, and that may very well be true. But of course, certainly it would never happen before. I don't believe it could have happened if God wasn't involved. In fact, I believe God is involved in everything taking place today. In these senseless wars, the First World War, no reason for America to be involved in it. The Second World War, where of course American banks and corporations built the weapons for the Nazis and financed the Nazis, all during the war, but you're never going to read about that. And of course, the coming war that is going to be taking place. But we want to get L.A.'s view of what's going on, because he always has provocative ideas. He's put together a series of DVDs. We carry them. Watchers, video 1, 2, 3, and now 4 and 5 are out. We carry those, as well as all of his books. L.A., thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, Dr. Stan, and thanks for having me on again.
Well, bring us up to date on what's going on, and of course, Merry Christmas to you, too, because, of course, the only thing that makes everything going on today possible, knowing what I do after 50 years of study, is a realization we're seeing the fulfillment of God's plan. And, of course, we, you and I, have been blessed to be able to play some little small part in educating people about what's really going on. You pick up the story.
Well, we just released Watchers 5 a couple of weeks ago. And we interviewed a whole bevy of people. Some fascinating individuals come in on this installment, Watchers 5. The title of it is called Let Me In. And, of course, we'll get to that a little bit later on. But Dr. Roger Lear has been a staple in all the Watchers films. From Watchers 1, 2, 5, we've done a segment with Dr. Roger Lear, because what he's involved in is just so incredible. And the story is evolving, it's ongoing, it's something that we find absolutely fascinating. So we realize that some people, let's say, have not seen all the DVDs, all the Watchers DVDs. So we sort of did a backstory on Watchers 5, explaining to the folks who Dr. Lear is, what he's involved in. And what is amazing about Watchers 5 is we actually went to a laboratory called Seal Lab, and we had a implant. When I say implant, we had a piece of metallic object, literally taken from a human being who claimed to have been abducted by so-called aliens, entities. Of course, Dr. Stan, you and I believe these are not aliens from the Pleiades, or that are reticuli, we believe that these so-called aliens or entities are actually fallen angels masquerading as such, just like prophecy hints at.
Hold that thought, and Chris, ladies and gentlemen, everything is done to confuse us. They want you to think these are from outer space. They're not. They're from here. Go right ahead, Ellie.
And so what we see is we've got a chain of evidence from the person, this man Tim, who the implant was extracted by Dr. Roger Lehr. So we've got Tim's story, then we've got Dr. Lehr coming in, taking out the implant, putting it in a small vial, and now that, so we have a chain of evidence. We've got the storyline from Tim to Dr. Lehr's surgery, and now we're in Seal Lab with the implant, which has been cut in half, and we're looking at this object under a scanning electron microscope going down into the subatomic level, basically 40,000 times we're magnifying this thing. We're looking at structures that are like 1,500 atoms wide. We're really small at this point, really tiny. And what we see, which is absolutely astounding, is that this metal implant has a covering, that a grayish-like substance which covers it, and we believe, as Dr. Lehr does, or I should say Dr. Lehr believes, as we do, that this covering keeps the body from expunging this metallic object. It insulates it and somehow allows the object to interface with the human body. And of course, Dr. Stan, you as an MD know that if you get something like a splinter under your skin, the body pushes that thing out. And so it is with this metallic object. You would think that the body would be trying to remove it. Well, this grayish substance seems to inhibit that. Not only that, when Dr. Lehr looked at the first one and he tried to cut through this grayish substance, the scalpel wouldn't cut it. That's how hard this thing is. What's astounding is what we find going down to the magnification of the scanning electron microscope 40,000 times. We see the same material used inside the implant to insulate, if I can use that word, at least that's what we think it's doing, carbon nanotubes that shouldn't be there, but they are. This is the type of stuff we talk about in Watchers 5. There's one astounding shot of this small little spur that's coming off the side of the implant. And what Dr. Lehr and Steve Coburn, who's the chief scientist, was explaining to us, they believe that this is where the nerve endings of the human host interface with whatever this device is. And what I love about this is it takes it out of the realm of theory, out of the realm of speculation. We have a chain of evidence that can be substantiated. We're in a laboratory, got a scanning electron microscope. Something is going on here. And you would think scientists and researchers would be beating a path for Dr. Lehr's door, such as not...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and you know, many of the people, and there are really thousands of people, who actually have these stories about being abducted by these alien beings. Well, of course, we don't think they're aliens at all. We think they're demonic beings. We think that the UFOs, and no question that really hundreds of thousands of people, I've known several people, have seen UFOs, and one of them being my wife, and she's certainly a very, very practical individual. Another doctor was very, very close to me. But basically, of course, many of these people have a story. Not only were they abducted and things done to them sexually, but many of them ended up with an implant. And certainly, the five DVDs which we carry, the Watchers 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, all certainly feature Dr. Lehr. And Dr. Lehr is a podiatric surgeon who's actually removed some of these implants. And of course in Watchers 5, why of course they actually cut one of them in half and then they take it to a laboratory and they magnify this thing so that basically you can begin to see what this is. And it's a strange metal. It's not a regular metal. It's not what we would ordinarily anticipate. And they've had these things evaluated by scientists, and they're made of structures. What is actually the metal that is in these implants? Do we have any idea, LA?
Yeah, well, there's a feature that's tied into the scanning electron microscope. It's called an EDX, and basically, I forget what those letters stand for. It's long name, but it basically, what it does is when you're down, let's say 30,000, 40,000 times looking at an object with the microscope, scanning electron microscope, SEM, you can highlight a certain area that you're looking at. And the EDX feature, which is tied to the computer and the microscope itself, will then tell you what that area is made of. In other words, it will tell you the minerals that comprise, or the elements, I should say, that comprise the element, or, you know, whatever section that you're highlighting. What was fascinating about this is that most of it was a ratio of iron, very high spike of iron, but there were other elements in there. Nothing abnormal, nothing bizarre, but that's only one section of one implant. We believe that the closest we've been able to find, let's say, a metal on Earth that would best describe the metal that's found in the implant, it's close to meteorite metal. In other words, when meteorites come into the planet and they crash and people find these rocks, cut them open, and see what they're comprised of. The closest thing that Stephen Colbert and the lead scientist for Dr. Lear has been able to discover is or link it back to, I should say, is these meteorite metals. So we don't have all the information. Dr. Lear is still exploring this. Steve Colbert's exploring this. We're exploring this. Obviously, we're going to use them in Watcher 6. We actually have an artifact which will be taking to a lab and exploring that artifact and to try to get to the bottom of some of this. But what we find, the bottom line is this: the phenomena is real, and by taking this implant with the chain of evidence, we at least show the viewer that this is not a bunch of horse puck. It's not a lot of hooey. Something is going on. These people they're claiming to be abducted. We've got physical evidence, so it's real. It's not an illusion. It's not delusion. It's a real phenomena. And these implants dock to the host in some fashion. The nerve endings seem to intertwine around this thing. I believe that it's changing the host's DNA, which is absolutely phenomenal if it is. I also believe that these chips are prototypes of something that they've been working on, that maybe when this thing is finally revealed, and I, of course, in my book, Cosmic Chess Match, I tie it back to the Mark of the Beast. And at your conference up there, Dr. Stan, I presented the idea that this Mark of the Beast may be something so far much more complex than what we've led to believe.
And let me just point out that we will hopefully have LA's completed talk probably in about 2 weeks. The one we do have right now is the talk that was given by Ambassador Henry Cooper, where, of course, he opens with his talking about the threat of an EMP attack, pointing out that it is believed by, and of course this is not his belief, this has been carefully analyzed by congressional committees and others back in Washington, D.C., which is why everybody's so upset about it, because Congress had appropriated vast sums of money to try to prevent the serious consequences of the EMP attack. But, of course, this was blocked in the Senate by one person and then never discussed. But these people, this Henry Cooper, actually opens the talk by mentioning that if there is an EMP attack on America, why they believe that up to 90% of the population could be dead within 6 months to a year. Now, of course, that's a frightening thing, but we have the DVD. It's available now for distribution if you'd like to get a copy. But we'll have a lens, hopefully, within a couple of weeks. At least I've been promised that we'll have it. And it was a wonderful, wonderful talk. I wish everybody could have seen it and could see the PowerPoint presentation. There is something supernatural going on, ladies and gentlemen. There really are spiritual forces at work in the world today. And certainly the kidnappings, certainly there. I mean, there's certainly a professor back at Harvard University. I think his name is Marx. And you correct me, Lynn, but my understanding is that he has actually cataloged some 5,000 certainly reported people who claim that they've been abducted. Is that right?
Are you thinking of John Mack?
Right, okay.
Yeah.
What is that story?
Well, basically, and this goes back decades now, when he was in the early stages of doing abductee research, and just like Dr. Jacobs and others who plumbed the depths of this, there's that moment when a person realizes that, wait a minute, I've just spoken to about a dozen people who claim to have been abducted. There's no collusion between these patients. They come from different walks of life. They're not drug addicts. They're not on anything. They want anonymity. And all of a sudden, it's sort of like you cross that Rubicon. Dr. Mack and Dr. Jacobs and others get to the point where, oh my gosh, the phenomena is real. Something is going on. These people are not making this up. And of course, when that happens, you're not in Kansas anymore, to put it bluntly. It's just, how do you deal with that? Because this thing is so well guarded, and yet you've got a dozen or two dozen or three dozen patients all saying the same thing. And then when the implants come into it, it goes off the charts, because now all of a sudden we've got hardcore physical evidence that substantiates and validates what these people have been saying. There is a breeding program going on. Dr. Jacobs writes about this in all his book. John Mack talks about it in his book. There's a breeding program going on. Wherever these beings are from, of course, we believe that they're fallen angels. They take great care of this. It is cloaked. It is more secretive than our atom bomb. And it's so bizarre that no one believes it anyway. I mean, really, when you talk to somebody about this who has no background, they just look at you and roll their eyes and say, well, that's, you know, what are you smoking type of thing? And I understand that. But most of these people, the scoffers, have never done a modicum, excuse me, of research into the complexity of the phenomena. And it's very, very complex. There's a breeding program going on. There's an implant program going on. There's an end game here. No one is exactly sure what the end game is. Dr. Jacobs has his theories. Mac has his. I have mine. All research. Dr. Lear has his theories. Some believe that Dr. Jacobs, for instance, believes that whatever these beings are very nefarious. And Dr. Lear is not so sure yet. He's not sure what he's looking at. So different researchers have different takes on it. My personal take on it, these are fallen angels masquerading as E.T. This is part of what I call the coming great deception. This is the major game changer, and I believe it ties into what Christians know as the mark of the beast. And the mark of the beast has four criteria. I talked about this when I was at your conference. But the first one most of us know, buy, sell, or trade. We can't buy, sell, or trade without that mark. That's an easy one. But the second criteria is anyone who takes the mark, these grievous sores appear in the body. Isn't that kind of strange? And what happens with that? The third criteria is one that's sort of, wow, why would a holy, loving God allow this to happen in the first place? And then when you take the mark, you wind up in the lake of fire. There's no grace or mercy. In other words, anyone who takes this mark of the beast is immediately judged. There's no grace and mercy. There's no second chances. So what's going on with this thing? The fourth one is sort of cloaked and hidden in the book of Revelation. That tells us in those days, what days? The days of the mark. Men and women will seek death but not find it. Now, is that literal, or is that just allegory, or is it literal? In my opinion, it's literal. And so Jesus tells us it will be like the days of Noah. One of the criteria of the days of Noah was the longevity of the lifespan was much longer than what it is now. 700, 800, 900 years in length. What if these entities come bearing gifts? Free oil, free energy, not free oil, but free energy, that whatever the propulsion system that pilots the craft, that's what they'll give us. But the second gift could be this. And that could be, you take this chip, it's a DNA upgrade, because after all, E.T. now is our progenitors. E.T. created us, and now they've got a DNA upgrade which will give us an elongated, a lengthened lifespan to at least 500 years or longer, disease-free. It's error, so if you get sick, the chip will correct whatever's happening. You look at cancer, all these things will be eradicated. I think people will line up for it.
And I think that basically we have to understand that they're saying, look, we need this. We need to have the people chipped so that we can tell who's the terrorist. And, of course, we can do all sorts of wonderful things with these chips, and we can help to protect you. I mean, certainly, what's wrong with going to the government and having the government protect you? And if we have something that will even improve your health, But ladies and gentlemen, there's something demonic behind this whole thing. And what you really understand, if you talk to these people who've been abducted, they all have similar stories about sexual molestation. These people don't talk to one another. They don't know what they're supposed to say. But they all have a very similar story. Something serious is going on. Our guest is L.A. Marzulli. We'll be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. L.A., you go right ahead. Now, basically, didn't Dr. Mack have several thousand different stories that he had done of people that he had files on? What was the background? He had a very, very large number of people. At least he's able to track their stories.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was the first person who did, coughing here. He basically started doing hypnotic regression with some of these people. In other words, people would come to them, and he didn't at first. Remember, you can't pick up a handbook when Mac is working with these people, and all of a sudden, you have no basis to relate anything that you're hearing other than these people are crazy. I mean, that's the first place that you go. Well, that's a real, who picked you up at night? Aliens, and what did they do? Mm-hmm, sure. And so he tried to get to the bottom of some of this. And what he did was he began to hypnotize some of these people and regressing them back to the day when these things happened. And this, of course, blew the lid off of what these people were telling him. What was interesting about this, and look, hypnosis is a bizarre thing when you think about it. Someone is controlling you, and I don't really trust hypnotic regression. But then you get so-called abductees who do not need to be regressed. They remember vividly what happened. And so as he's progressing with his research, he realizes that, again, the phenomena is real. Something is going on. There seems to be a breeding program. People are being abducted. The emphasis on some sort of sexual activity, some sort of crossbreeding, some sort of hybridization that's going on. And Mac's book was basically pivotal. I mean, he sort of blew the lid open on this. His work was then not picked up by, but Dr. Jacobs is certainly a colleague of his, and plumbed the depth further with the abduction phenomena. Jacobs has written 3 books. I think he's got another one coming out soon. But look, whatever's going on here is a well-guarded, well-kept secret. And that to me is extremely troubling.
Well, certainly these are scientists. These people aren't coming at it from a religious point of view, are they?
No. There's no religious dog in the hunt, as it were. Jacobs is a secular Jew who doesn't believe in the things that we believe in, Dr. Stan. I mean, he just doesn't. I've interviewed him for my book, The Alien Interviews. Dr. Jacobs came in and sat down and, answered a lot of questions, and I've interviewed him on my radio show. He's a wonderful man, and very, very lucid, but he's in fear for his grandchildren because he realizes that this breeding program is real. That whatever these beings are, of course we believe that they're fallen angels, whatever they are, whatever these entities are, there's an end game here. And they have taken great care in hiding this end game from us. What's interesting with Watchers 5 is that we interviewed a man by the name of David Wetterly, who wrote a book called The Black Eyed Kid. And in that book, he talks about these encounters that people have all across the country with these, what appear to be children. They're dressed in clothes, what we would consider normal type dress, but there's something odd with the way they are dressed. It just doesn't look right. And the clothes don't hang right on them. And they usually appear at the door at around 5 or 6 o'clock, and there's sometimes they come in pairs. Not always, but most of the time they're in pairs. And there's a knock, and you get to the door.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, our guest is L.A. Marzulli, and he has certainly a number of books, The Alien Interviews, and then, of course, we have his Policy Prophecy and the Supernatural. And what are some of the other books you have?
Well, it's the Nephilim Trilogy. Right now, that's out of print, but we're going to reprint it. The Cosmic Chess Match, The Alien Interviews, and Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. Those 3 books are available. I know you carry them, Dr. Stan, and people wanting to know more about this, especially some of the, like, this little book, but the alien interviews, there are five PhDs which come in on the record, on this. And all this information is a sit down written format. In other words, here are the questions. Whatever that person writes, whatever Dr. Lear wrote, is in the book. There's no editing at all except for punctuation and spelling. There's no editing on my part. Whatever the person, whether it's Dr. Roger Lear or anyone else basically in that book, whatever they wrote, however they responded to the question, that's what made it in the book. And it's fascinating.
And I was talking to Dr. Jacobs was there. Does he appear in that book?
Yes, he does.
And of course, for our listeners, Dr. Jacobs is a secular Jew. He's a scientist. He's trying to understand what is going on. And of course, and like most people, he somehow got involved in the middle of this thing, began studying these stories of alien abductions. And suddenly he realizes, not coming from a Christian point of view at all, that this is not imaginary. It's real, and not only that, but of course it's suddenly relegated to this this lunatic fringe, and yet of course he realizes this is not lunacy, this is the reality of what's going on, and of course he's frightened to death, because of course nobody wants to believe this sort of thing. And the average individual doesn't want to believe this. We just live in the most wonderful society, and if it is just go on exactly as it is, and our football, and our sports, and our picnics, and our parties, and the prosperity we have, and certainly a society where suddenly you get to be a certain age, and you automatically get pensions, maybe you've got a couple of pensions and Social Security, and you can live very, very well. Wonderful, wonderful society. The only trouble is that today our federal government's having to borrow the latest figures, 46 cents out of every dollar the government, for 46 cents out of every dollar the government spends has to be borrowed. This is unreal, but nobody wants to talk about this sort of thing. There is a supernatural element behind everything. They're holding it together temporarily, but how much longer they can hold it together, well, we're just going to have to wait and see. L.A., you go right ahead.
Well, you know, getting back to John Mack, again, this goes back into the abduction phenomenon. And when Mack, like anyone, when all of a sudden he realizes that the phenomena is real, that's mind-blowing. Because there's something it's called cognitive dissonance. In other words, when a person hears something, they have no paradigm within them, no facts, no way to relate what they're hearing, and it's called cognitive. They can't process the information. They have no way to process the information, and that is called cognitive dissonance. And basically, most people, when you talk about this, there's no way to process this. There's no way to process this. Dr. John Mack, for instance, had no way to process this. But he came to the realization that, wait a minute, people, in fact, were being abducted. And over the years and over the cases, through all the cases that he dealt with, he came to the realization that the phenomenon is real. Now, getting back to the Watchers 5 segment with David Weberly and these black-eyed kids, so you're at your door, you hear a knock. You go to the door, and these kids have their heads down. You can't see their faces. And one of them says, "Hey, mister, let us in. This won't take long," which is kind of bizarre. Or another case is it food time yet? Let us in. This won't take long. And so, well, where are you kids from? You know, what's going on here? You know, you'll kind of look around, and, well, you don't see any car. Well, come on, kids, where are you from? And then at that point, they pick up their heads, and you see their faces for the first time. And you're immediately taken aback because the child's eyes are not normal. They're not, there's no white. Their eyes are solid black. Solid black. And you're, the person, witness after witness after witness, and we interviewed a witness in the film, Leah Campus, who actually had an encounter with these things. Everyone who sees one of these things is absolutely overcome with fear. Now, the reason why we talk about this is there a link between these black-eyed kids? Are they hybrids that are popping here in and out? Are they sort of like, or whoever these entities are they testing the waters? And in my opinion, that's exactly what's going on.
Well, for a lot of people, they say this sort of thing really couldn't happen in America. I really wish it couldn't. But there are all sorts of manifestations of it, not only the UFOs and the alien abductions, the crop circles, the spontaneous combustion where people are just sitting there and all of a sudden they burst into flame. And, of course, this would be, there are so many of these supernatural manifestations today. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question for L.A., give us a call. L.A., you go right ahead.
Okay, and thank you, Dr. Stam. And what is bizarre about this is the feeling of either fighting or fleeing immediately kicks in. When we interviewed Leah Campin for Watchers 5, and her story is chilling. Remember, she has, and what's interesting about this witness, she has no knowledge of a Nephilim, knows very little about the UFO abduction phenomenon or hybrids or anything else. She was almost a clean slate. Almost a clean slate. Had no idea of any of this stuff. So she's out jogging, and she sees this child in the distance. And so the child is there in a neighborhood, sort of an upscale neighborhood, but she's never seen any kids there before, and she finds that odd. But, you know, okay, so she keeps running. And as she gets about 4 or 5 feet from this child, she notices certain things. First of all, the child is dressed a little weird. And look, I'm a runner, and when you get close to someone like that, you always turn and just kind of go, good morning or good afternoon or good evening. That's a little courtesy thing, you know, just being social. And so she goes to say hello, and this boy picks up his head, and she said it was like staring down two corridors, dark corridors, to a pool of evil below. She has never been so terrified in all of her life, and she ran as fast as she could, without looking back at this child. And then when she finally took the long way home, literally, she couldn't calm herself down for hours, and she texted this whole thing to her friend in Los Angeles, and that's how we were able to make the connection and sit down and interview her. I also asked her a point-blank question. I said, Leah, what do you think you were looking at? What do you think this entity, this child was? And she said, well, I thought it was the spawn of Satan. Her words. Remember, she has no religious, you know, underpinnings or Nephilim stuff, or, you know, knows nothing about the abduction phenomena that we've been talking about, the research of John Mack and others, Dr. Jacobs. No knowledge of it at all. Never read any of this. So she's like a clean slate again. And for her to say the spawn of Satan was chilling to me. When I showed her the picture of an artist illustration of what a black-eyed kid looks like found on David Weberly's book, she literally tried
hold
to get
that
out
thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan in L.A., Missouri, simply telling us, talking about the black-eyed children, and basically there have been a number of reports on this. In fact, Jesse Ventura did one of his programs, and on conspiracy theory, and basically he shows some pictures. I'm sure that they're staged pictures, but she's showing what these black-eyed children really look like. And this one woman, and certainly who is out jogging, and certainly that wasn't coming from a Christian point of view, but she saw this child, and then she, of course, sent a text to one of her friends, and that's how L.A. found out about this encounter, and he interviewed her, and he asked her what she thought it was, and she said something about, was it the son of Satan, something like that?
The spawn of Satan.
And these things are not imaginary. There's reports certainly all across America. Now, basically, they're going to be relegated to the loony bit. But, of course, is the Bible loony? Certainly that's one reason it's been outlawed in schools. Why? Because it talks about the supernatural. And the last thing we want is people to understand the true nature of the battle in which we're engaged today, a battle which is going to plunge us into oblivion as a nation. America is not mentioned in the Bible. Do you think God didn't know America was going to be here, you know, at this time in history? Well, certainly the other side did, because if you read the things written by the Satanists, and I have specifically one book we carry called The Secret Destiny of America by Manly P. Hall, who was a Satanist, and he talked about how they'd known for 3,000 years about this North American continent, and that suddenly this country was going to lead the world into this one world government. That was what America was put here for, was to bring about this one world government. Well, of course, most of our founders were Christians. But there was a small component then, as there's a small component now, dedicated to bringing about a one-world government, destroying Christianity, establishing a one-world religion, and then, of course, eventually installing the one-world ruler. Go right ahead, Ellen. Incidentally, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for L.A., how can people get to your website? Now, we do carry all of your products, but I know you have a lot of great information on your website. How can people get hold of you?
LAMarzulli.net, LAMarzulli.net, LAMarzulli.net. There's a link to the blog. I blog 6 days a week on a variety of subjects. Right now, I've been focusing a lot on the Middle East because of what is going on over there, specifically the rise of the Muslim Brotherhood in Syria. We actually cover some of that. We do a Middle East update in Watchers 5 with Dan Gordon and others who come in, and Jonathan Daniels, who's the senior advisor to Danny Dannon, who's the speaker of the Knesset in Israel. So we bring Gary Stearman is another example. We bring Gary Stearman, who's been following prophecy for 40, 50 years, a student of prophecy. And we bring him in. He weighs in on what is happening in the Middle East. And look, folks, this thing is manipulated beyond belief. Dr. Stan or I have talked about this off the record and on the record. But where do the rebels in Syria get those AK-47s from? Where do they get rocket propelled grenades? Where do they get 50 caliber machine guns mounted on Toyota pickup trucks? They're being well-funded. This is an orchestrated takeover. And CIA, MI6, I don't know. But they're being funded by someone who's manipulating what is known as the Arab Spring. And you will notice that when Jordan goes, Israel at that point will be surrounded by the Muslim Brotherhood. This is an orchestrated attempt at World War III. Isn't it funny how Manly P. Hall talks about that? And here we are.
And basically, of course, you have to understand that this is all, in my estimation, funded by your tax money, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, they're using America as the vehicle for bringing about this one world atheistic God-hating government. That's why they took God and prayer out of our schools. That's why our military wrote constitutions for Afghanistan and Iraq. So the countries would be under Sharia law. Why? Because it would drive out the Christians, and that's exactly what it's done. Yeah. And that is why we replaced the secular government of Egypt with one under Morsi, which will be, of course, under Sharia law. Who is Morsi? Where did he come from? Nobody ever tells you. He went to school in a place called University of Southern California. University of Southern California, and of course he was funded by our CIA and our intelligence agencies, so the dark side of our government. And basically, of course, we're behind all of these. We are creating the best enemy money could buy. The Muslim Brotherhood has been funded going back to 1928 by British intelligence and after the Second World War by American intelligence, covered in a book called The Devil's Game. We have it. The Devil's Game. This is the devil's game, ladies and gentlemen. It is the devil's game. Once again, L.A., how can people get to your website and get your information?
Well, thanks, Dr. Stan. It's lamarzulli.net, www.lamarzulli.net.
All right, fine. If you're out there in the audience, you have a question for L.A., he's on the front lines of this. He's done some great, great work, and I can hardly wait to see the DVD, which I've been promised here, But this is the talk he gave at the conference. It was a great talk. It was well received. But of course, he has an excellent, a lot of excellent film footage, excellent PowerPoint presentation, but just a very, very believable. And I happen to believe that what he is saying is absolutely true. Otherwise, I wouldn't have him on my program. I certainly wouldn't have invited him to be a featured speaker at our annual conference. But understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And the fact that most people don't understand this is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people are allowed to think and believe. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And L.A., what sort of response do you get when you go out and you give these talks, not necessarily to an audience such as mine, because most of the people who would come to our conference certainly know what's really going on, but just to the average individual, you appear on other people's radio programs. Is there a lot of skepticism out there?
Well, for the most part, I would say yes. But what's encouraging to me, Dr. Stan, is there seems to be more and more people as time goes on that are waking up. My inbox is flooded right now with 2,574 unopened emails. I can't get to all of them. And when I do answer them, I get usually two or three responses, and it's just very difficult to keep up with it. And I have no staff. It's just myself and my wife. But what's interesting and what's encouraging is we keep getting emails almost on a daily basis from people that have read the material, watched the DVD, heard me on a radio show, your radio show, wherever. And people go, it's always the same thing. Dear L.A., I read your material, listened to you, and I'm starting to understand what is going on. And that's the whole, when I get those, it makes what we do here worth it, because everything that we do is to try to wake up the body of Christ, wake up the person who's a Christian, but also the person is not a Christian, because if we can get them to look at this stuff, and then they can realize that there is a supernatural. Well, if there's a supernatural, are there laws that govern the supernatural? Is there a God that actually created all this? And so everything points back to Jesus, always points back to Jesus, who created everything anyway. I mean, we talk about that in all my books, not so much in the Watchers DVDs. All my books are very, very Christ-centered. Watchers DVDs are a little different, because what we're trying to do is you can sit down with your secular friends and watch them. So it's not Christianese. We're not trying to convert anybody. We're just trying to wake up people with the Watchers DVDs. So the short answer to that is, Dr. Stan, yes. Every place I go, the people are very eager to hear what is being said by myself and other speakers that I share the platform with. People are waking up, and they realize that the churches that they go to, for the most part, won't talk about these things. And they realize that they're tired of playing church. They're tired of just living in these, sort of a, like you talked about, endless sports and American Idol and, six-pack and all this other nonsense, and always a ball game to look at. They know something is wrong. They can feel it. They can sense it. They can logically deduce that, gee, we're in a period of time that history's never seen. The earthquakes, the volcanic activity, the threat of floods or droughts. I mean, the bizarre weather patterns that we're seeing everywhere, the wars and rumors of wars, the famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places, everything that Jesus warns about would be the birth pangs that would precede his coming, are happening in real time. And unfortunately, most people won't look at the cognitive dissonance. They don't want to look at this stuff. They don't want to believe that it's really happening. But unfortunately, well, actually, fortunately it is, because where it leads to is the coming of the king, the return of the king. He is coming back. It's not a myth. It's not just a nice little story that we read about. It's a cosmic war which has been raging in an unseen dimension for millennia. And it's now spilling out into ours. Certainly, where are these black-eyed kids come from? How do they pop in and out of our dimension? When people see them, are they overwhelmed with fear? What's going on? Why is it that when they see these kids, they have trouble thinking? Because that's what happens. They start to shut down. I mean, why do they feel terror and just blatant evil from these kids? What's going on here? And that's the type of stuff we like to talk about in Watchers, to alert people. Because, look, we're told in the Bible specifically, it's a prophecy. that Satan at the in the latter days, Satan will come with all signs and lying wonders. I believe we're starting to see these. I believe that they're manifesting on the earth right now, and it's time to wake up. And, you know, look, there's a lot of good stuff that's going on. There's a lot of salvation. There's a lot of miracles that are happening, not so much here, but in other places. God is still on the throne. He still speaks to us. I get all that. But what our job is to go into the enemy's camp and alert the body of Christ and other people to what his plans are, as best as we can tell, and where this thing is headed. And that's what we try to do in the Watchers series.
And basically, of course, you know, when people don't know there's a problem and you suddenly introduce them to it, their first response is to reject it. It just couldn't be true. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, as they begin to realize it is true, they begin to look for an explanation. And, of course, Christianity gives you the explanation. Yeah. And you begin to understand the spiritual battle. We are privileged, even though we probably are going to lose everything we have materially, we are privileged to live at this time. I think this is the most exciting period in the history of the world. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we have Dave calling from Central New York. Hi, Dave. How are we doing? Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do, Dr. Stan. My question would be this. In the United States, are there any capitals that the L.A. would recognize, any states or areas that are most prevalent for these kind of demonic activities, or what about other countries? Do you hear about things like that?
No, do you have any thoughts on that? Are there any areas in America or throughout the world where you see this demonic activity? I can tell you at least something just from my experience, Dave, because I lived in Africa. And in Africa, of course, everything's different. I lived in South Africa. We had a black maid. All the black maids over there put their beds up on four-poster beds up on paint cans because they know there's a little demon named Togolosh who was trying to jump into bed with them and molest them sexually. So all the black maids over there, of course, everybody goes to the witch doctor before they go to the white doctor, and there is tremendous spiritual activity over there. There's quasi-Christianity in the black population, hopefully a growing Christianity, certainly is working there in a black hospital. And it was so interesting that there were black nurses, there were Christians, and they knew I was a Christian, and so there was a bond between us. You know, there were many that were not Christians, who were deeply involved in the occult. But in other countries, especially in Africa, tremendous occult. L.A., how would you answer David's question?
Well, I think, and I agree exactly what you're saying. You can go around the globe, and you can see the places where Christianity has a real root. The people enjoy the greatest freedoms. The women are treated with respect. Now, I'm painting with a broad brush here. France at one time was a Christian country. It no longer is. And, you know, same thing with Greece. Look at most of Europe. You can't call those countries Christian countries anymore. They've slid into secular relativism. When you look at, let's say, a country like India, which has practiced reincarnation literally for thousands of years, and the caste system, even though it's been abolished, the caste system is still alive and well. The burning of women was a common practice until the British outlawed it at the beginning of the 20th century. This is what, you want to talk about a dark place? I'm not talking about the color of the skin. There are so many gods that are worshipped in India. It's just mind-blowing, absolutely mind-blowing. Look at the voodoo, tying into what Dr. Stan was saying. Look at the voodoo that's practiced in Haiti. Again, extremely poor country. I think, and I do believe, that there's a link between abject poverty, disease, famine, and just everything that goes with the occult. The people are in bondage. And you come here, remember, this country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. It was founded. There was a time 60 years ago, if you had said any of the things that we're saying now, people would have looked at you and like, what are you, crazy? Are you out of your mind? And yet we're here. The very idea of partial birth abortion, the fact that Michelle Obama, and I read this, I vetted this article, she wrote a letter out talking about, you know, oh, we got to elect Barack because I forget which state it was. They're talking about our overturning partial birth abortion. I mean, this is where we are. And so I think America is about to come under judgment. We're changing the laws that God set in motion. For instance, the gay agenda. The idea that somehow marriage can be between, a man and a man instead of a man and a woman. Or a woman and a woman instead of a man and a woman. Well, the moment we change that, as Bill O'Reilly points out, it's a slippery slope. What if I want to marry the McGuire sisters? What if I want to marry my pet dog? Then you're discriminating against me. Marriage is between a man and a woman. That's what it is. And it's a God-ordained idea. But if there is no God, and all this is just a bunch of cooey, there is no supernatural, and then what is our Constitution founded on? That all men are created equal and given certain inalienable rights by their creator. Well, hello? That's the essence of the freedoms that we enjoy in this country, because we can point back to that. And the founding fathers were pointing back to the work of John Locke and other Protestant reformers from Catholicism. They pointed to the God of the Bible. And we have moved, as a country, we have moved away from it. The country is more divided now than I've ever seen it, and it's not getting any better. You've got people that don't want any. Look, the Democrats in this summer, what did they say? No God. They booed. They said, no, we don't want God part of the platform. I'm not making this up. That's where we are. So, look, I think there's countries, to answer your question, that are under demonic rule. I think for the most part, we have not been under that, but things are changing.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, really it wasn't until about 1970 I even had a glimpse of this. It wasn't until 1980 I began to understand the spiritual battle. I'd been involved 20 years.
Wow.
But America had changed. It had changed dramatically. But we still have the finest people, certainly the finest ideals. We have the most wonderful people in America. We just need to turn them back to our Lord, to Christianity, and to compassion for our fellow humans. Compassion unto our Lord Jesus Christ. Dave, anything else you want to say before we let you go?
Well, Dr.
Are there any particular
hotspots
in the U.S., and is this demonic stuff going on in so-called Christian churches?
Well, some of them, yes. It is in some Christian churches. Most Christian churches not, but some Christian churches, yes. But they're no longer Christian churches. But they've infiltrated the hierarchy of both the Protestant and the Catholic religion, certainly the Jewish religion. They're there at every level of our society. They're there in the entertainment. Turn on television and you're going to see all sorts of things. Certainly undermining Christianity. And when was the last time you heard anybody said, well, because that took place 200 million years ago. They always say that, oh, this is certainly, this species been around for 200 million years. That's all certainly to undermine the Bible. You will never hear people say, oh, you're certainly, why, of course, the world was formed 6,000 years ago and God created the heavens and the earth. You'll never hear that on television in America today, a once great Christian nation. And Dave, thanks very much for being
thanks,
with us.
Dave.
And L.A., you've got about 2 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, Dr. Stan, it's always good to be on your show, and thank you for the opportunity to talk to your listeners. And I just want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, even though it's a little earlier. And the reason for the season, of course, is the birth of Jesus. We all know that he wasn't born on December 25th, but we celebrate his birth then. And even that's been corrupted. We create the Watchers series to kind of getting back to what we were talking about for the last hour or so. Richard Shaw, my good friend and co-producer and director of the Watchers series, we create these to educate. And Dr. Stan, you know, you gave us a great blurb, which we used on the Watchers 5 packet. You said outstanding, revealing, educational. To understand current events, you must understand Watchers. Dr. Stan Monteith, Radio Liberty, and we certainly thank you for your endorsement of the Watcher series. And that short little concise blurb that you gave us just sums up what we're trying to do in Watchers, and we certainly thank you for your support in it. And if you're interested in finding more about that, you can go to my blog, lamarzulli.wordpress.com, lamarzulli.wordpress.com, and you can watch a 2-minute trailer, which I think you'll find interesting.
Well, of course, I hope that everybody's going to want to get the entire video. We think they're great, of course, actually in DVD format, but the information is there. And, of course, people need to get it. They need to disseminate it. They need to help us introduce people to the idea that this is not a political battle. That is, of course, to confuse you, this is a spiritual battle that's being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. but it is a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Lynn, L.A., bye-bye. God bless.
You too, Dr. Stan.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Hope you enjoyed the interview with L.A. Marzulli. We do have the Watchers. There are five Watchers, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. We have his book, Policy, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, Alien Interviews. It's not interviews with aliens, it's interviews with people, many of them secular people, who've come across this entity of aliens in our society. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, and you can get Lynn's material. It is excellent and very well done. And then, of course, we want to remind you my ministry is primarily listener-supported. If you're in a position to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters or to certainly donate to us, maybe you have something you'd like to advertise with us, call us at 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, I want to mention that it's time to reprint our book. We probably have close to 100,000 copies of my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, Out Across America. But it's time to reprint it, and so what we're going to do is make the offer we have before. And that is, of course, if you'd like a case of the books. And the book retails at $12.95, but you can get a case of the books for $150. That's actually 64 copies, less than $3 a book, and so you're going to have to pay the shipping, $150 per shipping, but you get a case of Brotherhood of Darkness, and this is the best introduction I know to explain to people what is going on politically, but what is going on spiritually and the spiritual forces behind that. I will tell you, you know, I've talked to a number of key people in America who've read the book, and several of them have said, you know, I never could understand what was going on in America till I read your book. And it just changed my life. Well, I hope we want to get the book out. And so if you'd like to get a case of our books for $150 plus shipping, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. The book will cost you less than $3 a copy. And you can give them away. You can distribute them. Do whatever you want to. But we want to get the book reprinted. We will not bill you until we're ready to actually do the printing of it. So call us at 1-800-544-8927. Now, I want to mention a couple of DVDs I think are important. One is the DVD on the threat of an EMP attack. We're not talking about something imaginary. We're talking about something real. I will tell you that intelligence agents that I know, at least two of them have told me they've been told by their contacts in intelligence, get out of the country because something big is coming down. And suddenly I've talked to another woman. She has a website with over 50 million hits. I won't give her a name, but I've known her for many years. And of course, she has contacts at the highest levels. They've told her to get out of the country. I will tell you, I know people in Washington, D.C. who know what's coming down, and they're all getting themselves a little hideaway other parts of the country, because they know when suddenly this comes down, why Washington, D.C. and that area is not going to be safe. You need to start making your preparations. But one of the best things you can do to help us reach people while there's still time is to get a case of Brotherhood of Darkness. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. As I say, you can sell them. They go for $12.95 each. Or you can give them away. Do what you want to. But we want to get this story out across America while there's still time. And then, of course, we hope that you'll want to get my talk. It's on DVD. It's called the Agenda 21, the Covert Plan. It gives you an overview of the master plan for the 21st century. Agenda 21, Master Plan 21st Century. It's on a DVD, and you can get that with a syllabus, and the syllabus includes much of what the other side has said. We'll give you the documentation for what's going on, not what I say, but what they say. And then, of course, we have now Ambassador Henry Cooper's excellent DVD, The Threat of an EMP Attack, ladies and gentlemen. It's a very real threat. You're not reading about it because the media is controlled. But as Henry Cooper says in the opening of his talk, certainly within 6 months to a year, 90% of the American population could be dead. Within 6 months to a year, 90% of the American population could be dead. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. We do hope you want to get to Sydney Henry Cooper's, Ambassador Henry Cooper's DVD, his talk, but we hope you'll get my book, A Case of It.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Deborah Tavares. Hi, Deborah, how are we doing tonight?
Well, good evening, Dr. Stan, and I wish I could say that one day would go by when we aren't falling deeper into the globalist agenda.
Well, Deborah, how long has it been that you've known what was going on? You know, I've been at this for 50 years. You're a relative newcomer. How long ago did you suddenly wake up to the realization that America was under attack and in grave danger?
I will tell you. Actually, we experienced UN Agenda 21 in relationship to our building business in Southern California, and in the mid-90s, it was becoming next to impossible for us to identify a parcel of land and do a feasibility study on it in taking into consideration all of the new requirements that were coming out of the local cities and off-site requirements, etc. And we were simply not able to continue building and make sense with sellable prices to buyers. And at the time, I didn't know it was UN Agenda 21. I also did not realize we had a second home up in the hills of San Bernardino above Southern California. And literally thousands and thousands of acres of trees just started to die over a few years. And we ended up being mightily impacted with tremendous tree removal costs. And at the time, I had no idea that it was far more of a story than the bark beetles that were accused of girdling the trees and due to the drought and the mismanagement of the forest, etc. And I now, of course, know that that's from the geoengineering and all the toxic dumps that were sprayed. But it was a gradual, painful, costly program of, you know, inch by inch we emerged into knowing what was happening, and then all of a sudden the big plummet occurred, and we realized with the smart meters that were being attached to our properties.
But that was only really a couple of years ago, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And when we realized the deception that we were being told by Southern California Edison, that they weren't required to have an environmental impact study, that it had been waived because the project was too small. And then in the same breath, just within a half an hour, they completely recanted that position and said, oh, no, our smart meter department is huge, and we've got volumes of paperwork, and we'll get you that information. Well, of course, they never had an environmental impact study. They were disinfo, and immediately we knew something was wrong, and we started looking into it, and that's when we hurtled into the world of smart meters. and upon many, many, many hours and hours of research, we discovered the truth behind that.
All right. Now, are you on a regular telephone, Deborah?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, I think maybe I'm going to have my producer call you back, because we usually have a better connection than we have right now. So if you wouldn't mind just hanging up, and I will ask Daniel to go ahead Daniel, if you wouldn't mind calling Deborah back, let's see if we can get a better line. But anyway, of course, what Deborah is saying is absolutely true. Smart meters have all sorts of impacts. Some people are very, very sensitive to electromagnetics, but we are all impacted by it. It's not just smart meters. It's smart appliances. It's a smart grid. We are under attack, not from without, but from within, by people who have an intense hatred of humanity. We'll be back in just a moment here. This is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Deborah Tavares. And Deborah got just started a couple of years ago to suddenly realize that this whole issue of the smart meters, and of course, what's the real purpose of the smart meter? Well, it's basically so that they will know when you're using electricity, if there's anybody in the house, what they're doing. It is to drive up the cost of electricity. It is actually to submit, so actually you will be subjected to an marked increase in radiation, and some people are extremely sensitive to this, but everybody is going to be impacted by this type of radiation, because first of all, you start with the meters, and then you go to the appliances, and starting this year and next year, all the appliances that you are going to be buying are going to have chips in them, and they will be communicating with a smart meter. And then, of course, this is going to go up on the smart grid, and everything is going to be monitored and controlled. But not only that, you are going to be exposed to tremendous electromagnetic radiation. Deborah, you pick up the story.
Yes, that's exactly right, Dr. Stan. In fact, we have a website set up specifically for information on smart meters, and I would recommend that everyone go to www.refusesmartmeters.com.
All right, I'm going to ask you to speak just a little louder, and we'll go right from there.
Yes, everybody go to refusesmartmeters.com. We have documents up on that site. We talk about the globalist agenda. This is for full spectrum energy dominance. And you will see a number of presentations that we've done that will explain that in great detail. But it's very, very important to look up the Fort Meade Army military document that was received through a Freedom of Information Act. This document fully delineates the harm that will be caused as this microwave RF frequency and electromagnetic exposure has results.
Now, that is not the PowerPoint presentation that you've been distributing. Is that a different presentation?
Well, actually, Dr. Stan, I was with you at a convention recently a few months ago, and I spoke after you. I have that up on the website, refusesmartmeters.com. I also have another PowerPoint presentation that I did at an Oath Keepers group in Southern California.
But wasn't there one that you have that actually is put up by some sort of a government agency, a 100-and-some-odd page PowerPoint presentation?
Oh, yes. Well, we'll get into that. That is most definitely a shift in smart meters. It's inclusive of frequencies, the planned attack, and that's called the NASA War Document. And that is actually on another site that we have up. They're all linked together, all of our sites. But this site is called stopthecrime.net. Stopthecrime.net. And you will see a button that will say NASA Future War Document. Well, the future is now. This document was presented by NASA as a PowerPoint in July of 2001. And it is quite it's very alarming, to say the least. And it really does talk about robots, cyborgs, and eliminating humans. And some of the people and organizations that are behind this is the U.S. Air Force, the National Research Council, Atlantic Command, Australian Department of Defense, DARPA, the CIA, the FBI, the DIA, and the list goes on.
I think it's vitally important that people understand there really are people out there who believe there are too many people in the world, and the only way to save the world would be to eliminate a large segment of the population. What people do not understand is that there is a genocidal program being carried out today. Now, certainly, they will readily admit that they have carried out 400 million 400 million abortions in communist China, largely done with help from International Planned Parenthood financed by the United States. They've actually carried out 400 million abortions in India, usually, and we're certainly financing those as well. They've actually carried out 400 million abortions in Russia since the beginning of the last century, and so they all financed large part by the United States. That's, of course, 1.2 billion people. But, of course, for every abortion carried out to contraception, sterilization, they presented the birth of three or four people. So, basically, they've either killed or prevented the birth of about 4 billion people, and largely financed by the United States. But that is simply the abortion, and then there's the euthanasia, and the euthanasia is being carried out in America today under the guise of comfort care. Comfort care. Go up on the internet and type in comfort care, euthanasia, elderly, just comfort care. You'll find out this is being carried out in our hospitals and nursing homes today. Not all of them, but over in England, they've killed 120 100,000 people every year, 120,000 people every year, talk to the elderly in England. They're afraid to go to the hospital because they fear they'll never come out alive. They actually kill 120,000 people in England, and they've only got a population of about 40 million. Imagine how many they'll be able to kill here in the United States when we get Obamacare. Go right ahead, Deborah.
Yes, Dr. Stan, in this NASA document, they talk about the low-power microwave frequencies and how these will be used on the in the continental United States, that they know that it will cause problems with behavioral. It'll cause seizures, low brain functions. They say 30 to 100% increases in brain blood flow. They talk about the lethality. They talk about how much of what they're going to do is fingerprintless. Bacteriological viruses, prion parasites, fungi, carcinogens, and toxins. They talk about how we're going to be replaced. On page 66 of the NASA document, it says, increasingly critical human limitations and downsides. Humans are too large, too heavy, too tender, too slow physically and mentally, require huge logistics, we cost too much. Humans have rapidly decreasing to negative value. And robots are much more effective, the enhanced affordability, more reliable, and certainly have many, many platforms of robots, from miniaturized robots to larger robots. They talk about robot intelligence as being superior to us. Best bet, they say, is to produce artificial cyber life, which will possibly, which will be replacing humans, is what they're talking about here. They talk about psychological warfare used in the continental United States in the large, through the CNN syndrome, which is the media organization, the front for mass terrorism. They talk about using microwaves, chemicals, biologicals, and, again, a whole host of smart dust. They talk about everything will have a sensor. We will even end up with sensors by nanotechnology that will be dropped by aerosols.
Now, basically, which report is this you're quoting at the present time?
Well, this is a report that is loaded up on our website on stopthecrime.net. And the actual title of this report is called the Future Strategic Issues, Future Warfare, circa 2025.
And now, who put this out?
NASA put this out, NASA Langley Research Center. This was presented by Dennis M. Bushnell, who was the chief scientist at the NASA Langley Research Center. This was presented in July of 2001. It was a PowerPoint presentation, and at the time that it was presented, they said on page 4, this presentation is based in all cases upon existing data, trends, analysis, and technology. No pixie dust. So in other words, everything that is in this document was available. They were capable technologies back in 2001. They talk about legalizing smart dust to create pathological assaults upon our lung tissue, and that this type of warfare is now legal. They talk about 80% of the continental United States and population and infrastructure within 50 miles of the coastline could ultimately be destroyed by inexpensive blast wave accelerators.
Now, are they talking about blast waves, or are they talking about EMP attacks?
Well, they talk about EMPs too, but the blast wave technology is a different technology. It was called back in the days in the mid-40s when it was actually, it was a top-secret wartime experiment called the tsunami bomb, and it was a devastating war secret, and they were going to actually use it in place of atomic bombs because of the massive destructive capabilities. And we have actually that particular definition up on the website under the NASA documents, so you can look at these things. They talk about using binary biologicals in our food supply. they talk about Trojan horse civilian system. They're going to put Trojan horses in every single thing. Self-deceptive ways in which they are going to attack the continental United States. They will use our railways, our banking system and computers. They talk about attack building software and hardware. They mention that our international payment systems will be irrecoverable.
Let me just interrupt here. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Ladies and gentlemen, our enemy is not in Beijing. If it were, why are we sending them so much money? Why have we transferred our industry over there? Our enemy is not in Russia. We've done everything we could. It was American corporations and American funds used to drill the oil and gas wells in Russia that made Russia the largest exporter of oil and natural gas in the world. No, the enemy is here in the United States, ladies and gentlemen. People who have a different worldview because they worship a different God. Go right ahead, Deborah.
Yes, the document talks about, and I'm going to just read this. This is on page 93. It says, exploit CNN syndrome. And again, that's the media front for psychological warfare. So starting from the top, exploit CNN syndrome. Sink carriers via swarm attacks. Capture, torture Americans in living color on prime time. Terror attacks within the continental United States. Binary, biological, critical infrastructure. Takedown, EMPs, radio microwave radiation frequencies against the brain, etc. Serious psychological warfare, collateral damage, and exploitation. They talk about there will be sensors on everything, miniature robots, artificial intelligence, cyborgs, by the swarms and hordes everywhere. They talk about country-sized dispersed magazines, small, inexpensive, unmanned vehicles, rockets, projectiles. It goes, again, they talk about EMPs frequently throughout this document. They talk about a sensor web, which, of course, many people now are calling Skynet. We know that here recently it was admitted by the Chinese that they have a massive surveillance grid to stop the Tibetans from torching themselves. And they admit that they have a Skynet. And this is what we're heading for. There will be sensors on absolutely every single thing, from plants to animals. They will use animals and urban rats to attack us. This document is unimaginable. And we have they say that everything will be telecommuting, and everything will be based on computers. In fact, that's what I'm understanding across the board now. But on page 99, they say trends and summary. Everything will be computerized, everything. U.S. just one of the crowd economically. And warfare on the cheap, many potential peers. Warfare increasingly robotic. Survivability and affordability and power projection via deep water subs and blast wave accelerators. The continental United States and logistics defense is increasingly worrisome. Well, of course, they know what they're going to do to us. They say a typical scenario, takedown of the U.S. by 10 people and $10 million. Binary biologicals, imported vitamins and clothing, food supply, care, biological. They talk about physical against key nodes such as physical strikes against key nodes such as railroads, take down the economy, a water supply contamination accompanied by serious psychological warfare.
Well, now, basically, Deborah, are they saying these are things they're going to do or things that they're afraid that may happen?
Well, we know that they're doing much of what they're talking about in here.
What is the basic thrust of the talk? Is this the danger or what they're actually doing?
Well, they're laying out the capabilities that are that NASA and these other agencies have. They said in 2001 that everything in this document they were capable of doing.
Hold that thought. Because Deborah's simply going over this NASA document that is actually a PowerPoint presentation giving back in 2001, talking about the terrible things that the government has, the capacity they have to simply eliminate most of the productivity on both the East and the West Coast of the United States and a large segment of the population. And you say, why would anybody of their right mind in our government talk about this? Well, ladies and gentlemen, our government is very tightly compartmentalized. And we do have some people there who really do believe in population control. If you doubt that, you need to hear my talk. It's available from my ministry by calling 1-800-544-8927. It's called Population Control, the Covert Agenda. Population Control, the Covert Agenda. Or you can get our talk on Agenda 21, the Covert Plan. And, of course, it comes with a syllabus. And it actually covers much of the same thing. There really are people who believe there are too many people in the world and we'd be far better off without them, which is why, of course, they've aborted, certainly, admittedly, well over a billion, almost a billion, people, probably far more than that. And then, of course, they really do have plans. And they're in the process of certainly doing away with conventional foodstuffs. They're genetically modified of rice now. There's genetically modified soybeans. There's genetically modified corn. There's genetically modified cottonseed oil. They are certainly genetically modifying our food to make it carcinogenic, to make it so that it will produce infertility, and you give the feed animals genetically modified corn for three generations, and they don't reproduce. They do. And if you believe, of course, there are too many people in the world, you want to give them something that will destroy the reproduction, and that's really what they're doing now. Publication. This is a talk given back in 2001. Deborah has it on her website. How can people find that website, Deborah?
Yes, go to stopthecrime.net, and you will see a NASA war document signed. Just push that, and that will get you to the link of this document.
Well, we do actually have it. You can get it to us, but we'd far prefer you got it and pulled it down and copied it yourself, because it's an awful job for us to reproduce that. Go right ahead, Deborah.
Yes, the document goes on to discuss how warfare, robotic warfare, will be in the large. They say better than human, and also artificial intelligence and cyber life. They talk about the various sizes of robots, how they will attack, how they will poison insects, bugs, they will swarm in clouds, and they will attack.
And I think it's so people have to understand that they really want to get away from people. Right now, of course, we have fighter planes flown by certainly people in the Air Force, F-16s, F-20s, F-14s, but they really want to replace them with drones. And they're going to have 30,000 drones actually flying over the United States. 30,000 drones armed. Certainly they will have all sorts of various armaments on them, so they'll be able to kill people indiscriminately like they're doing it over in Pakistan. But how can we possibly complain about, when this thing happens here? We have been concerned when they were killing civilians over in Pakistan. The other day they killed about 20 civilians in Pakistan, they said, with their drones, and they said, oh, shucks, it was just a mistake. It's just sort of like playing a video game. You sit there behind a computer, you direct the drone, of course, you launch the weapons, they kill people in Pakistan, but before long, they're going to have those same armed drones over America. Why do you think they want armed drones if they were just interested in collecting information? Why do they have to have weapons on them? This is not imaginary, it's real. Go right ahead, Deborah.
Yes, in the document they discuss how machines are as creative and smarter than humans, and robots will be the norm. They also talk about sensors on everything, and this is what we're seeing now with the global smart grid. Also, they talk about smart explosive dust opportunity, and that is in the discussion of infiltration of deeply buried or other such targets. They discuss microdust weaponry, a mechanical analog to biological micron-sized mechanized dust, which is distributed as an aerosol and inhaled into the lung. The dust mechanically bores into the lung tissue and executes pathological missions, and this is a completely new weapon, they say, which is legal.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. I suggest you go to Deborah's website. Once again, what's the website, Deborah?
StopTheCrime.net.
And this was actually a talk that was given in 2001?
Yes, in July of 2001, just a couple of months before 9/11.
And was this actually given by a government official?
Yes, Dennis Bushnell.
Well, that thought will be right back. Dennis Bushnell.
While the storm clouds gather all across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairie, to the ocean, white with hope.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Deborah Tavares, and Deborah has done a lot of research and gotten some of the things that have been put out by people who work for the government, which border on sounding like they're crazy. I mean, replacing people with certainly robots certainly having certainly almost everything have some sort of a tag on it or computer chip so that it could be monitored. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's what the whole smart meter is all about. You're going to have smart meters on every home. Then you're going to have smart appliances. All the new appliances have a chip in them, which will actually communicate with the smart meter, and that information then can be sent to the smart web. Of course, there's going to be a web of all these electronic symbols. It's going to be going to the intelligence agencies who want to know everything about us. And, of course, this is going to be able to be used to drive up the cost of electricity. They want you to use your electricity at night, not during the daytime. Use it at night when there's not much demand for it. They're raising the price of electricity in the United States intentionally to drive our industries offshore. They've already driven large segments of the aluminum industry offshore by raising the cost of electricity very high and totally unnecessarily. And then, of course, the people will go over to China where they have a subsidized electricity. It's very cheap. Just another means of certainly driving more of our industry out of America. This is what the plan is. But, of course, they can't tell the American people what they're really doing. There is an agenda. There is a plan. That's why you need to hear my talk, Agenda 21, the covert plan. It's well worthwhile, and it will tell you about the genocidal programs, the effort to destroy our economy, the effort to destroy the value of our currency, the effort to bring about population control and dramatically reduce the population of the world, because there are too many people in the world, ladies and gentlemen, and they specifically targeted the blacks in Africa. They're not going to tell you that, but that's exactly what they're doing. Why is it you think that here in America, why, of course, we have certainly a very low level of AIDS. We only lost about 600,000 people, and certainly we have about 1.1 million infected. But, of course, if you look at the race of those people, almost half of those who've died and are infected are black. Why? Because the disease AIDS was designed to target the black population. And if you go to Africa, you go to South Africa, 25% of the population are HIV infected, and they're all going to die. And that's what AIDS, the virus, is all about. It's genetically modified. And to actually kill certain races, you can actually target certain races with disease, and that is what they're doing. That's part of Agenda 21, and if you don't believe it, of course, you can actually read the document. It's included in our syllabus you get when you get the Agenda 21 DVD. It's called Rebuilding America's Defenses, put out by the neocons, where they talk about certainly creating diseases designed to kill off certain races. And specifically, they don't tell you, but they've targeted the black. Go ahead, Deborah.
Well, in the NASA document on stopthecrime.net, they're targeting all of us in the United States. And you will see that they are going to have biosensors, nanotags, smart card sensors. They're going to put sensors, they're going to implant them during manufacturing and in servicing. They mention also that they're going to have a sensor swarm. Smart dust will, of course, float in the air currents. Nanotags will be placed on everything, everywhere. Identification and status information will therefore be available. They're going to co-opt bugs and insects. This is chemical weapons, and these are indiscriminate. This is absolutely a genocidal program heading our direction. It's no wonder that in the Ozarks, it was recently discovered that there's a 73,000 square foot armored redoubt. It was, the permits on this building were pulled as a single family, and it sits on top of thousands of miles of underground, network for the global elite to duck under like moles to, scurry away from what they're planning topside.
No, basically what you're talking about is the fact that there are all sorts of underground areas where the people can go. They're well-financed. They're well They're stocked as far as food and water and air is concerned, and they're probably close to 90, at least 90 that we know of. These are underground bunkers for the elite, because they know there's going to be a major cataclysmic event coming. I certainly suggest the Ventura covers this very well. In as DVDs, you can actually see this, and it will take you into the into these areas in the Ozarks that have been prepared. They've actually been prepared for the elite to go to when, of course, there is a collapse of society or whatever they're planning. We don't know what they're planning, but we do know that they're planning for them to escape. We know, for instance, and I've mentioned this before, that I've been told by several people I know who have been involved with intelligence agencies, they have been told to get out of the United States. A cataclysmic event is coming about. I have a friend of mine who has a website that has had over 50 million hits on it, and she has contact with the intelligence agencies, and she has been told to get out of the country. She's actually going to live over in Australia and has a place over there. And understand, ladies and gentlemen, the elite are making plans to escape. The Bush family has a farm in Paraguay, 200,000 acres. Why do you think the Bush family bought 200,000 acres in Paraguay? But please don't take what I say. Go up on the Internet, and you can check this out. Just go to your search engine and write in, Bush family purchases 200,000 acres in Paraguay. And then ask yourself, why would they want to go to Paraguay? Why would the Bush family want to purchase 200,000 acres in Paraguay? What are they planning for? Go right ahead, Deborah.
This NASA document also spends much time demonizing the United States. They're saying that the U.S. produces only 18% of the world's GDP. They talk about 70% of the research is conducted offshore, that we have a $400 billion-year trade deficit, and of 32 other nations devote larger percentages of their GDP to research, and that we only save 3% versus 30% savings in Asia, and we're 13th out of 30 in school in math and science scores. They also talk about how they're going to use computers for everything, that most of the universities will close due to, which of course is going to put data into us, make data available to us, but we will not have a class to act with. It will change how we learn. They don't want us to learn. A very, very valuable document is Silent Weapons, Quiet Wars. It's only 41 pages. It is on our website, stopthecrime.net, and also, Dr. Stan, under Breaking News on our website, we do have that latest Jesse Ventura movie that someone shot off of their television set. Unfortunately, it's not the best production of it, but it is called Ozark, which means Oz's Ark. That's Illuminati. And it is fascinating to watch and see just what their plans are. And when you look at this NASA document, you can see that they would create an underground redoubt that would protect them from this type of hideous attack upon the world. I mean, while they say much of this is the continental United States, this is a world attack. They're doing this in other countries right now with drones and chemicals. They're dumping on villages. I've got a story up under the NASA document that talks about what they did to Libya recently, to a village with dumping toxic chemicals. People were dying without even being shot, and they were leaving the town and going out into the desert, and when they tried to return, they were being mowed down with machine guns from the militia that had positioned itself around the peripheral of this town. And then they went in with heavy equipment and started knocking down all the houses. What we're looking at is a hideous form of Agenda 21, where we have the Wildlands Project here, the map, the U.S. map of the United States here, where it shows that 50% of the United States will have denied access to humans. This is global. It's not just in the United States.
And basically what you're saying is they're knocking down the homes over there in Libya because it's part of this effort of simply destroying existing society, which is really what it's all about. And you say, who in their right mind would want to destroy existing society? And the answer is nobody in their right mind, but we're not dealing with people in their right mind. Why in heaven's name did we go over to into Afghanistan and then into Iraq? We went into Iraq because they had weapons of mass destruction. It was all a lie. All of the intelligence agencies said that there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, that had all been transferred to Syria. So why did we go in? Because they wanted a war. They've wasted $1.5 trillion in the wars in Afghanistan and in Iraq. Why do they do that? Because they want to bankrupt this country. When you understand they want to bankrupt America, then it all begins to make sense, because these people's loyalty is not to America, but to this internationalist dream. They're using the financial and military power of the United States at the present time to bring about the world government, but they're not going to need America much longer. And when, of course, they no longer need America, they will simply destroy our economy, impoverish our people, enslave our land. We've got Michael calling from Flint, Michigan. Michael, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I had a reliable source tell me that on 12/12/12, which is today, that they had some kind of cataclysmic computer program that was going to shut a whole bunch of stuff down and try to collapse the financial markets around the world.
But Michael, did it happen?
Pardon me?
Did it happen?
Yeah, and so, but today...
Michael, you said that this was going to happen on 12/12. I think that's tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah, today, basically, right now,
okay.
Today.
Okay, well, of course, you're later than we are there. All right, fine. So basically, you are the 12th there. You're on Eastern time, and we're here on Western time. Well, anyway,
yeah,
it's going to be very interesting, but I don't think it's going to happen myself.
You know, it's interesting, Michael.
Well, let's let Deborah comment. What did you want to say, Deborah?
Yeah, I was going to tell Michael it's interesting because in the NASA document that's on StopTheCrime.net on page 18, you will see that 15% of all the power today, and that was back in 2001, it would be used by computers, and they said by 2010 it would reach 60%. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow, but a lot of what we're also going to experience is psychological warfare and creating massive fear.
And because that's exactly what that story that Michael is putting out is designed to do. It's to create fear. When we've got people fearful, and then, of course, you've got another cataclysmic, the world's going to fall apart on the 21st of December. Well, is it going to be destroyed tomorrow, Michael, or will it be on the 21st?
Well, I think they got the one backwards. It's going to be 1-2, not 2-1.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much. And so go right ahead, Deborah. Or just anything else you wanted to bring up?
Well, I think it's very important for everyone that's listening to read Silent Weapons, Quiet Wars. It does talk about the global elite's plans. This was a 1954 Bilderberg policy, and it really does illustrate their contempt towards us. We are vile. We are lab rats. They experiment on us. They think we're brainless. They believe that since we don't read and we're stupid, that we belong on the farm with the other dumb animals.
Now, who wrote that Silent Weapons?
It was a policy of the Bilderbergs, and it was found in international intelligence.
All right.
And it was suppressed, and I would recommend everybody getting a hold of it and taking a look at it. It actually also is in the beginning of the book, Behold a Pale Horse, that William Cooper wrote. And he refers to that document quite often, as do many other books as well. But it is an excellent document. It is in the elite's sick words and interpretation. It talks about their plans. It talks about how they psychologically engineered us to give our sons and daughters up to war, and they talk about the purpose of war is to kill kill the creditors.
And let me just comment, of course, William Cooper, who wrote the book, Behold a Pale Horse, William Cooper, it was a talk show host. I had him on my program several times. He was on with me, and I was on with him. And, of course, what happened to William Cooper? They sent a SWAT team out, and they killed him. They said, well, he shot first, so that's why we killed him. Why did they send the SWAT team to begin with? But we're never supposed to ask that sort of question. Does that sort of thing really happen in America? And if it did, why aren't we talking about it? Go right ahead, Deborah.
Well, that's absolutely true, and I would recommend everyone read that book, Behold a Pale Horse, written by William Cooper. It is fascinating, and it does have the Quiet Weapon Silent War document in it as well. And also, another attack upon us right now is not only the smart meters, the smart grid, but we are under a massive attack with microwave frequency radiation coming from cell phone towers and antennas. And you can go to our site, stopthecrime.net, and take a look at the cell phone towers. There's other websites that you can go to. Turn your cell phones off. Never talk on them in your car. Really, they were designed as a tracking device and a device to make you sick. That is what you will learn when you listen to what some of the scientists in Europe say. There's also a book that you
But I think it's important what you're talking about is what the scientists in Europe are saying about cell phones. And we know that they put off radiation. They know that, of course, that it increases the incidence of brain cancer in children. And we know that it decreases the sperm count in men who wear a cell phone on their belt. So basically, do not tell me that they are suddenly harmless. They know exactly what's going on. And you say, well, if that's true, everybody would know it. Well, fortunately, you can go up on the Internet and check it out. Go up and check out the fact what cell phones do to male sperm count when they wear the cell phone on their belt. And you'll find out the sperm count drops about 50%. If it's going to do that to the sperm, what do you think it's doing to the rest of your organs? They knew how dangerous the cell phones were before they were ever deployed, and anybody who dared to speak out against it was threatened. And we actually, my best friend, is an alumnus of Washington University, University of Washington, and they were actually, the university was actually threatened if they dared tell the truth about cell phones. Could this possibly be true? Well, Deborah, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Yes, there's an excellent book called Cellular Telephone, Russian Roulette, and it's by Robert Kane, K-A-N-E. And that's actually available on the website. You can find it on stopthecrime.net. And on page 138, it talks about the IEEE, which is the Institute for Electrical and Electronics Engineering.
Now, speak a little louder, Deborah, please.
Yeah, it talks about, in the book, about how the Institute for Electrical and Electronic Engineers has much higher standards of allowable cell phone exposure limits with frequencies than in the USSR. The USSR standards are far more strict than in the United States by a factor of 280. And we know the historical disregard for the population in Russia, and yet they will not allow the level of frequency, radio frequency exposure, as we do here in the United States. And that same exposure increase is allowable by IEEE for the smart grid here in the United States. We are getting far, far more frequencies. What they are doing is they are creating an electrified dog fence around all of us. I also recently realized that in some of the pharmacies, when you go into them, if you have younger children, they can hear frequencies, and they're sending messages over the intercom system in the stores suggesting that these children need to get flu shots or they will die from some kind of illness without a flu shot, and the parents cannot hear this. There are different frequencies that young groups of people can hear, and there are, it's called actually, we have it up on our website. We found this a month ago. It was the a little, it sticks up under, convenience stores to, cause loitering to, leave because the sound frequencies hurt their ears. And so they determine what age group is loitering and they can blast off these, frequencies. So I can say, please go to our website. We have ToxicSky.org, RefuseSmartMeters.com, StopTheCrime.net, and we have SmartMetersMurder.com. I recommend everybody read the source documents on StopTheCrime.net.
We're out of time, Deborah. I'm going to have to thank you so much, and God bless. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. This would be, if you'd like to get the Toxic Skies or one of Deborah's websites, Toxic Skies, but go up to the internet and look up Deborah Taveras, T-A-V-E-R-U-S, and go to her website and pull some of this information down. It is truly incredible. But, of course, we really are under attack today. Basically, certainly 100 years ago, one person in every 80 got cancer. Today, it's one in two men and one in three women. Why do we have this increase in cancer? Why the experts say they don't know, and I will tell you why. They're poisoning us, ladies and gentlemen. They're poisoning the air. They're poisoning the water. They're poisoning the food. And if you haven't heard my talks on population control, the hidden agenda, you need to get that DVD. You need to get my talk on Agenda 21, the covert plan. You need to get this at the Ambassador Henry Cooper's DVD, the talk he gave for us. It's entitled The Threat of an EMP Attack. The Threat of an EMP Attack, we'll send along a document with that that'll give you the information about this. And they're talking about as many as 90% of the American population being dead within 6 to 12 months, and this is not imaginary. If it were, certainly Congress would not have voted almost unanimously to appropriate the money to protect our grid, and yet that has been effectively blocked and all mention has been suppressed. The DVD again, Ambassador Henry Cooper's talk on the threat of an EMP attack. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927, my talk on Agenda 21, the covert plan, my talk on population control, the covert agenda, Ambassador Henry Cooper on the threat of an EMP attack. And then, of course, we want to mention that if you really want to understand what's going on in the world, you have to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and I've been told by key people, both inside and outside of government, that this has helped to change their life and their whole perspective of what is really going on in the world today. Now, we have somewhere close to 100,000 copies out across America, 50 to 100,000 copies. Time to reprint it, and so if you'd like to help us, you can get a case of our book. Ordinarily, they sell for $12.95. You get them for less than $3 each. You pay $150 plus shipping. You get 64 copies of Brotherhood of Darkness. And just we hope then that you'll get those and disseminate them. But of course, this will help us to get the item reprinted. We want to get the book reprinted, and now, although we still have some, we want to be sure we do not get out of print. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get a case of Brotherhood of Darkness at a very, very good price, and here's an opportunity to change people's lives. If they'll read the book, I promise you they will never look at the world through the same eyes again. If you haven't read the book, Brotherhood of Darkness, why, you really need to get it and read it, because it will help you to better understand the spiritual nature of the battle in which we're engaged in today. That, of course, so our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We will not bill your card until we are actually in the process of printing copies of my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. And then, of course, we want to mention that we hope you go to our website, RadioLiberty.com. You can listen to our programs there 24 hours a day. Certainly, they're there on the Internet. They're archived. And then, of course, you can listen to our live programs there as well. And then, of course, we do hope, of course, you'll read our newsletters. You'll listen to our radio programs. We have a lot of DVDs, various talks that either I or other people have given at our conferences. They're up there on our website at RadioLiberty.com. You're free to watch them. And then we want you to tell other people about our programs. We want you, of course, to pray for America, to pray for revival. But please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection, because we are truly involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, but a political battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. I number 1-800-544-8927.
Back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us, caring about your world. Did I tell you it's the 28th of August? Can you believe that? 28th of August, going into September. The fall is almost here. Can hardly believe it. 10 foods that fight inflammation and pain. I want to thank Suzanne Borjo for sending this. And you can contact Suzanne at longevityonline.com/way, W-A-Y, the number 2, health. Way to help. And she is part of the longevity team. And these people are sharing all kinds of good information with me, and I love it. I appreciate it so very much. Here's 10 healing remedies. Now, by the way, Suzanne is the international representative. So if you're interested in longevity and you live in a foreign country, well, contact Suzanne at her website, please. And as soon as I find the phone number for you again, I'll give that to you also. All right, the 10 foods that fight inflammation and pain: blueberries, cayenne pepper, celery and celery seeds, cherries, the tart cherries or the light tart cherries, dark green veggies, flax seeds and flax oil, ginger, raspberry, blackberries, strawberries, and turmeric. Think about it. Wow. What an amazing plate of good food for you.